Okay, thank you, Keith. First of all, I'd like to recognize my colleagues, Dr. Hillary Mell, who's our extension plant pathologist that works at our center, and her graduate student, Tian Zhao. One third. Long story short, that's the number of times that we get a yield response to fungicides in Virginia. It's 10, 12 years of data on farm and small plot. Our concern is we need to do better. This is good enough for most of our growers to almost make a regular, consistent fungicide application. The problem is this. Now, I'm not going to say much about frog eye leaf spot. When we have frog eye leaf spot come into a susceptible variety, then we tend to spray it. But the disease in question that we have year in and year out is the Cercospora blight that you're seeing photographs here of. First of all, we can't scout for that disease. Actually, late blight's probably the best terminology for that. You will not see any symptoms on the plant until late in the growing season. Our foliar fungicides are preventative. Therefore, you have to get them on before the disease sets in, and then you won't see symptoms for another month after that. An automatic R3 application, as most of the labels recommend, don't take into account weather conditions. Therefore, we felt like we could do better. We have done better with the crops. We can devise better ways of applying fungicides, but we also, I think, with this data I'll show you today, there may be some better ways of conducting some research. So today I'll first of all talk about the development and validation of a decision aid that we developed about 5 years ago, been testing it ever since, and some on-farm research advantages, and finally, are there any improvements we can make? And I'll just show you the disease triangle very quickly. You need a pathogen, you need a susceptible host, of course, and most of our soybeans are susceptible to the pathogen. But most of all, I want to focus in on our environment. That's what our model is based on. We are not new to this. We developed a peanut disease advisory over 20 years ago, and we regularly use that. We can reduce the number of sprays in peanuts from 5 to 7 down to 3 to 5. Based on its weather-based advisory. So we took that model and applied it to soybean. Of course, the number of favorable disease days we could relate to the yield response that we get, and also the number of disease. This is just a little bit of the data, largely small plot data that we've accumulated. Therefore, but before we released this decision aid to the farmers, we wanted to validate that with on-farm trials. I wanted more confidence in it before we go straight to the farmer. And these are the locations that we conducted these on-farm trials at over the last 3 years. Basically, the grower chose the cultivar. We did set up an experiment in a randomized complete block that he chose the fungicide to use. Generally, it was a premix. We suggested a premixed because, honestly, our strobilurins are no longer nearly as effective as they used to be and just flat out do not work on frog eye leaf spot in Virginia now. We set this up as a randomized complete block and replicated strips. The treatments that we used was untreated, R3, and a weather-based advisory. I'll get more into details about that, but basically we're looking at disease-favorable days of 10 or more hours per day, relative humidities of 95% or greater in that temperature range. Now, this is not relative humidity in the canopy. This is based on weather stations. Relative humidity in the canopy really does no one any good because we can't easily access that weather data. First 2 years, we said 2 consecutive favorable disease days, and that triggered the model. Around R3, we'd start monitoring this at the R3 stage. And then we'd due to some reasons I'll show you later, we modified the model to 3 just disease-favorable days. We used weather data from various sources. Sometimes it was NOAA weather station. Sometimes it was a weather station that the grower had on the farm. At a few of these on-farm sites, we actually put out small weather stations just to validate. We captured our weather data from nearby weather stations, but we used those on-farm weather stations just to validate it. Within the on-farm trials, and again, the strip-wise, I probably didn't mention it, the width of the strip would be the width of the grower's sprayer. That ranged from 60 to, I think, 120 20 feet, depending on the farm, and generally all the way through the width of the field. That sometimes was 300 feet, sometimes it was 4,000 feet, depending on how long that field was. Within that strip, we collected data from about 5 to 10 locations within each strip, depending on the length of the field. First thing we did was we collected 50 leaflet samples, brought those back to the lab. We did that right at the R3 stage or right before, just to see what type of disease we had, because symptoms, visual symptoms, would not show up for another month or so. And then we went into the field, again, starting at R3 stage or after the application, made ratings. First year we used percent of the leaf area affected, but after that we went to the scale you see here. Pathologists like this, it's a much easier scale. You don't have to be nearly as specific. However, we do lose some, something in this scale. But that's the way we went. This is a scale we used for the last 2 years. We also used a handheld green seeker. In the early stages, I just wanted to make sure we had enough canopy, because we have noted that, especially in a double crop situation, we don't have a full canopy. If we only get a half a meter tall plant, small canopy, we generally don't have diseases. So we used NDVI just as a check on that, but we also used it to really measure that leaf drop later in the season that we commonly see a delay in with fungicide applications. And we also took some visual leaf drop and visual yellowing ratings. I combined that in what I say is photosynthetically active leaf area retention, and you can see the equation here, but basically the amount of green leaf area remaining is what the data I'll show you later on. And then we took yield with the weigh wagon. We measured each strip with the weigh wagon, and then we, if the grower mapped his yields, we went in and looked at some of that. Really quick, I'll show you our results from first year in 2004. Again, the main objective was this study was to validate this decision aid and see if it would work or not. The yields are in this column, separated by significances in the letters. So long story short, and first of all, this study in Accomack County really has so much variability due to SDS and nematodes. We could throw that out. This one location, the grower didn't apply it till late. Our model didn't recommend too late, but we decided to go ahead and apply it. Basically, we would have normally said, do not apply a fungicide at this stage. So, in my opinion, we were correct in our recommendation to not apply a fungicide, and then we were correct in applying to all the other locations. Notice that the difference in yield, this site was greater for the R3, but we had frog eye leaf spot there. That changes the game. In these other locations, we were no better than the R3, but we always applied later. If you applied later, you got longer fungicide residual. So I would say we were successful 5 out of 6 times in that year. I was fairly happy with that. The next year, completely opposite. We really did not have any, we were not right. We recommended applying a fungicide in all locations, but we never got it right anywhere, really, because even when we recommended applying, this was too late to show the yield response. We did not recommend applying at this location. We were successful, and basically these yields are coming from these weigh wagon results, okay? These are just average weigh wagon results. So we were not successful these years. I'll talk a little more about this as a case study with the Maryland site, because that gives us more information. So we're disappointed, but basically it turned dry after our application. We can say the conditions are right now, but I can't predict what's going to happen in the next 2 to 3 weeks, and that's what happened. So long story short, we're not satisfied with the decision aid. We successfully said to spray 2 locations. One location, we were just overwhelmed by SDS. Long story short, I think we were accurate a little more than a third of the time, but really no better than just on average. One good thing about this, I think, is we did spray a little later, and to me that's important, because we could extend the life of the fungicide. And then we did change the model in 2016. Those results are pending. We haven't collected that data yet. Let's move on to this one site. I just want to show you this as a case study, show some of the variability we see through the site. This is the field, and these are the locations that we took data on. This is Talbot County, Maryland, Hutchison Brothers Farm, and this is a center pivot. This is a double crop field under center pivot. Let's just go straight to our disease ratings. I'll remind you again, the disease ratings are based on this scale that you see here. One is basically no disease. Three is there's a little bit of disease on plants. Five is all the plants have very low disease levels. And then six and seven would be our worst. We're going to start mid-September. The application was made about a month earlier, 3 weeks earlier, or the R3 application. And then the decision aid and the treatments are shown up here and they're throughout the entire field. One thing we did see early, it looks like we had a kind of a high disease area in the field right here. We also had a low disease area. And this was very clear, just walking through the field, showed up in our data. Let's go a week later. We start seeing disease increase. We still see this low disease area of the field. And if I can go back, this high disease area somewhat expanded. We're not seeing a big difference between fungicide treatments at this time, especially in the high disease area. One thing you will notice that we had another area that looks worse, but what happened is the disease leaves are starting to fall off the plants that you see in this red area. Therefore, the rating naturally goes down because those heavy disease leaves have fallen off. Let's go 1 week. Well, I could take you through the weeks, but here I calculated area under the disease progress curve, and basically that's the total amount of disease we had during the year. We still see these areas through here. I'd say this is the high area. We had a low area, and then we got some in between here. Now, let's look at this yield map. This is the actual yield map the farmer gave me, and then we pulled some data from those locations in the field. Here are our yields. First thing I want to state is, first of all, the grower decided to use a different variety from here on out. And that happens with on-farm trials. So we discarded the third rep. If we look at this again, just using two reps, then we have significant differences. However, let's look at these areas in the field. The low area, we were seeing a response to fungicide. The low disease area, we saw a response to fungicide. Now, low doesn't mean no disease. We had disease there. By the end of the year, we had that. High area. In general, I saw very little response to the fungicide. Our pathologist thinks we just overwhelmed the fungicide. Maybe two treatments would have been better. And there's the moderate disease area. We saw differences there. So, okay. This is a responsive yield to area under disease progress curve. It's not a great fit, but there's something there. If we look at these data a little closer, if you look at this low disease area, then that relationship looks quite a bit different, as well as the moderate disease areas. If you just look at those data points, then we are seeing differences. So, I guess, and one of this photosynthetically active leaf area, we also took data on that, basically a measure of leaf drop. We saw some relationships there as time went on. If I take the area under that, using the same, if I take the area under that leaf area progress curve, we see similar relationships. But again, you look at those individual sites, and we see a greater relationship. So, what I would say is we are seeing differences in the field. And strip weigh wagon results don't always tell the whole story. I've only showed you one location. We have a couple others that are very similar to this. What about our green seeker ratings to measure leaf drop? Is there a way to remotely sense some of these measurements that we're making? Because one of the problems we have, other than I'm getting too old to walk 4 miles every time I go to one of these fields, and that's basically what we're doing, walking between two and up and down these strips. It'd be nice to cover the entire field. Can we use something like a drone or aerial imaging to do that? Disease rating versus NDVI. There is a relationship. It's not a very good one, but there is a relationship. So, can we use, you know, this to kind of measure the disease in the field? One thing that we can do, the NDVI matches up very well with this photosynthetically active leaf area remaining. So I'm out of time. Here's the summary. We did okay with the model, but the field shows very big differences than just taking strips of data, harvesting way wagon data. And I'll stop here. Thank you.